This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. I hope the program will encourage you, instruct you, and perhaps even challenge you. Now, if you would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. And if you go to my website, you can re-listen to these programs there. You can also email prayer requests from the website. There's a email address that you can use there. And there's other information, including a weekly meditation that you might find helpful on the website. So I'll give you the website address and my mailing address at the close of the program. Now, today we are coming to the book of Lamentations. And as you know, I've been trying to go through each book of the Bible and give you a little understanding of what's found there. And I hope that we have encouraged you to read these books on your own. And I've suggested that you use a good standard translation, maybe the King James Version and a New King James Version, one of the better translations, some like the ESV, the English Standard Version, some like the New American Standard Bible, but read one of these more academic versions, and then you might even want to compare that with maybe a more modern version, which is somewhat of a paraphrase, like the New Living Translation. But where there's discrepancies in what these Bibles say, you want to be a little careful and make sure that you go back and think about and read about that discrepancy in one of the more scholarly works and take it in its context and pray about it. Not everything that we read in the Bible is clear to us at first, but if we pray about it, often the Lord will help us to understand what we are looking at. And of course, the theme of the Bible is the Lord Jesus. We are constantly being told something about Him. We find out that He's kind of an abstract concept when we start out in Genesis, but by the time we come to the book of the Revelation, He's not abstract anymore. He has become the Savior of the world, and He's the one who's going to judge the world that rejected Him. And so when we look at the Old Testament, we have the children of Israel being one of the object lessons or themes that are used in order to help us to understand how the Lord deals with sin and how He deals with people who reject Him. And He's given them that first commandment that thou shalt have no other gods before me. And of course, the children of Israel should have known better than to worship the pagan gods of the land of Israel, when in fact they were being used to judge the people that had turned to those pagan gods, the Canaanites, the Hittites, and so on. They were being used to judge them, and they should not have turned to those pagan idols, but starting with Solomon, they did. And so, ultimately, the northern 10 tribes were taken into captivity by Assyria, and then, of course, Babylon became the major player in the Middle East, and they subjugated Assyria. And then the last two tribes that were left, which was Judah and Benjamin, they were finally taken captive by Babylon. Now, Jeremiah, which we looked at last time, was preaching during the time when Babylon was attacking the nation that was left, the two tribes that were left, Judah and Benjamin. And Jeremiah was considered a traitor because his message was, allow yourselves to go into captivity, and at the end of 70 years, God will restore you to the land. At least He'll restore Israelites to the land. But the people who went into captivity would save their own lives. They would have to live in captivity, but they would save their own lives. Well, the children of Israel are a proud people, and there's no way they were going to sit back and just let Babylon run all over them, and so they considered Jeremiah to be a traitor. And you can understand why they would look at it that way, excepting that a spiritual man would have known that Jeremiah was being faithful to God, and a spiritual man would have known that the children of Israel had not been faithful to God, and they would have gone back to the Old Testament prophecies preceding Jeremiah and would have found out that God had predicted this kind of judgment when the children of Israel began to worship other gods. And so this idea that we should have no other gods before, that we should worship no god other than Jehovah, who is the New Testament Jesus, when we have that command in the Bible, we ourselves need to take heed, because today people are taking the Bible and reading into it what they want to believe. And they're making God a god like them instead of having the Bible convict them and convert them and making them think like God. And so this is a very dangerous area or time in the history of the church when people are religious, but in many cases have never had an experience where they repented and believed on the Lord Jesus. We're not born believers. We're born in sin. We're shapen in iniquity. We are born as unbelievers. And the Bible says that the Lord himself says in John 5:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life." And so there's a resurrection, a spiritual resurrection involved when we come to trust in the Lord Jesus. And I hope that you have confidence in the promises of the Scriptures, that when Christ died, was buried, and rose again the third day, that he did that so that you could know for sure you would be in heaven after you died. But you can only be in heaven after you die if you are worshiping him and him alone. And that starts with trusting him, being saved, and being born again. Now, when we look at Jeremiah then, we find out that he was really lamenting, in crying, wailing, saying, "Alas, alas," in the book of Lamentations, because Jerusalem had fallen. And so we find out that the book may be thought of as expressing the sorrow of Jeremiah, or the sorrow of the Jewish remnant for whom Jeremiah was a spokesman as they witnessed the Babylonian invasion. But it's also the sorrow of Jeremiah himself, because he was on two occasions imprisoned for what he said. And it also gives us the anguish of the Messiah when he came to suffer and to bleed and die on the cross of Calvary. And I want to read with you the verse that has always stuck in my mind when I come to the book of Lamentations. It's found in chapter 1 and verse 12. Jeremiah says, "Is it nothing to you, all you who pass by? Behold and see if there is any sorrow like my sorrow, which has been brought on me, which the Lord has inflicted in the day of his fierce anger." And of course we could say, well, that was the sorrow of Jeremiah himself because of his rejection by his countrymen. But it's also a picture of the sufferings of Jerusalem itself. People were passing by and they were seeing what had happened to Jerusalem. And he's saying, "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? If the Lord would do this to the city where his name was placed and where he was worshipped and where there was such glory, what will he do to people like you who reject him?" And so in the 17th verse, he says, Jeremiah says, "The Lord has done what he purposed." And I want you to remember that, because we may want to change the message of the Bible and assume that ultimately everybody's going to be all right and everybody's going to be saved. But God says there's only one way to be saved, and that's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who tells us, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And God is going to do what he has purposed. He has said, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That's what he purposes. If you believe on the Son, you have everlasting life. He has said, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's what he has purposed for us. He did what he had purposed for the nation of Israel, and he's going to do what he has purposed for us as well. So the Lord has done what he purposed. He has fulfilled his word, which he commanded in days of old. He has thrown down and has not pitied, and he has caused an enemy to rejoice over you, that is to rejoice over Jerusalem. He has exalted the horn of your adversaries. And so we like to preach about the love of God, and God does love us. He loves us so much that he gave his Son to die for us. But we don't like to preach about the eternal destruction of those who violate that first commandment, that thou shalt have no other gods before me. But the nation of Israel is an object lesson, proving to us that God preaches with both a carrot and a stick. The carrot goes in front of the mule to encourage it forward and to be a positive message. The stick is used on its behind in order to be a negative message and encourage it to go where it belongs. And the Lord uses both positive messages and negative messages. He teaches that he loves us, but he also teaches that he hates those who turn away from him. And we read in the Bible, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." And those people who crucified the Lord suffered for it. Their nation suffered for it. Their family suffered for it. In 70 AD, Titus came in and destroyed Jerusalem. And so we need to ask ourselves, do we really understand that God does not give us a special dispensation whereby he's going to turn his back on our unbelief and our own devices when it comes to worshiping him, and he wants the loyalty of our hearts? He wants us to receive him in simple, trusting faith. And of course, with Jeremiah, then he laments not only with regard to the destruction of Jerusalem, which teaches us that God does judge sin. He also laments with regard to his own relationship to God during this trying period when he was trying to be faithful to him. And in Lamentations 3, verse 1, he says, "I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath." And he's very discouraged, and oftentimes we who preach the gospel get very discouraged because people have their minds made up, and you can't confuse them with the facts when their minds are already made up. But friend, even Jeremiah could say there was hope. He says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning." And when we wake up in the morning, we need to recognize it's only because of the sustaining grace of God. And friend, it's the grace of God that's being extended to us today. And as we look at what happened to Jerusalem, we need to have it speak to our own hearts if we are amongst those who are turning away from the simple worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon our lesson. And we pray for blessing upon all who have listened. We thank you for salvation through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus, and we pray in his name. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com. bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.